My voice might sound a little bit off today. Right before this thing, I inhaled some banana pudding. Like, actually inhaled it, not just ate it fast. I was eating it, and then I was moving my chair. And I guess as I moved my chair, I inhaled. And I got...
Jeez.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've ever inhaled banana pudding before, but it's not as...
Nope.
It's not as enjoyable. Not enjoyable at all.
Noted. So, I'll remember that.
Yeah, just word to the wise. Greetings and fist bumps. This is the Raised Eyebrow Podcast, where we discuss how this whole humanity thing has gotten a little carried away. And we are your hosts, Kojo, Mike, and Alex. In this week's episode, we're going to share some fan theories on some of your favorite movies and TV shows, which some of them may lead to a better experience or ruin them entirely. Who knows? Let's find out. So, we've been preparing for this episode, like many of our other episodes, by just a lifelong of just internet surfing and TV show watching. So we're definitely well-versed and experts on this particular subject. Yep. This particular episode may lead to a 20-part series.
A lot of time surfing the interwebs.
Exactly.
Like for the research for this show. Yeah.
Actually, all of my theories
most of mine
came from Instagram just reels that I just discovered randomly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
All
mine came
Instagram.
From Reddit and BuzzFeed.
Oh, nice. Nice. Those are good sources for random stuff.
Mine are just Google search and some YouTube videos. Oh,
Kojo actually did research.
Nerd.
So for the first one, I'm going to start off more with just like a popular TV show that was on when we were kids, which is Rugrats. And
nice.
Have you seen it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know I know the theory.
You know the theory? Okay. So it's that the Rugrats are all figments of Angelica's imagination. So one by one, Chucky, he died in the same accident as his mom, and that's why his dad is like very erratic and always freaks out about random stuff and is very cautious about things in life. Tommy, who still looks like a baby compared to the other kids his age, he was a stillborn, and that's why his dad is making toys in his basement for the child he never had. That's like the saddest story of them all. Yeah. And so the twins in the show are a miscarriage, and it's because Angelica didn't know if it'll be a boy or a girl, so she imagined one of each, and they're identical. Now, those are the ones who are figments of her imagination. However, there are two other characters, Susie and Dill, who are real. So Susie, who comes like later on in the TV show, she goes along with a lot of Angelica's imaginations and stories and stuff like that because it makes her happy, and Angelica is Susie's only friend. So she just kind of goes along with it as they play together, as they imagine the twins, Tommy and Chucky, together. And then Dill, on the other hand, he's real as well, but he goes against her imagination because he's always kind of just doing his own random thing that always gets in the way, and she can't control what Dill does. Whereas the other ones, it kind of seems like what happens is a little bit more under Angelica's imagination and control. It's kind of a grim way to watch Rugrats now.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's a heavy one.
It is.
For sure.
Actually, yeah. Tried explaining that to a five-year-old.
Yeah, I saw that one when I was Googling, researching for this episode. It was like, you know, like 30 dark kids show fan theory, something like that. That was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was like definitely like the... But it's one of those theories that if you were to watch it, you're like, oh yeah, like that actually checks out. Because all the parents are weird.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, but when you watch it, you're like, oh, that's why they're all like that. Because Angelica's also part of it. They have the same mother as Angelica, I think, but Angelica's mom is like
related,
always stressed out and smokes a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, smoking in pregnancy, try to avoid it, not good for the baby.
Yeah. And then how does Angelica understand what the kids are saying and vice versa? Like, it seems like, isn't she like 10 and like their baby? So
yeah, I guess like, it's weird. Cause it, like, okay, Chucky would have been born cause he died in an accident. So she would have known Chucky existed. Tommy was a stillborn. Right. So she would have known that Tommy's mother was pregnant, and she would have known that her own mother would be pregnant with whoever the twins would have ended up being. So she would have like been able to have processed some of this to a point. And I guess like when you get to a certain point, it's like, oh, you're going to have a little sister or brother to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brother or sister never materializes. So she manifests both in her own imagination.
Yeah. She's coping with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
anyways, start off with a really grim one. I probably should have picked a lot more.
I can go grimmer. I can go grimmer.
Yeah. Let's just go as dark as we can. Yeah.
Just get the sad ones out of the way. Then we'll get to the fun ones. These are still fun, but just sad. Yeah. Okay. Winnie the Pooh. We all know Winnie the Pooh, right?
Oh, wow.
So there is a fan theory, and this was actually researched by the Canadian Medical Association.
Oh, wow.
It was an article in the BBC that was released in the year 2000. So the theory is that each Winnie the Pooh character represents a different mental disorder. So I'll go through all the characters. So Winnie the Pooh represents impulsive eating disorder. He has a obsession with honey, indicating an eating disorder and a habit of repetitive counting. He always like counts things obsessively. That indicates OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Piglet has generalized anxiety disorder. He's always in a perpetual state of worry and can often be heard saying, oh dear. Right. He's always anxious. He developed like an ear twitch, like a weird tick, which you'll notice in different episodes. And that's common in overly anxious individuals. Then there's Eeyore. This is easy. He has depression, so depressive disorder. He always has a bleak outlook on life and never feels any positive emotions like happiness or excitement in any of the episodes. Then there's Rabbit, who also has OCD. He's very orderly and obsessive, mostly with his garden. Then there's Owl, who has dyslexia and narcissistic personality disorder. Shout out to our narcissistic episode. So he's exceptionally bright, and he frequently has trouble reading. An example would be in Pooh's Grand Adventure when he makes he mistakes the word school for skull, and he also is theorized to have narcissism because he has an inflated sense of self-importance due to his belief that he's wiser than everybody else, like Alex. and then there's really. Tigger. I kid. I troll Alex. Then there's Tigger, who has ADHD. That's an obvious one. Tigger, he's always seen bouncing and can never stay in one place for a long period of time. And then there's the kangaroo mother and son. Kanga has social anxiety disorder. She's always overly protective of her son, never lets him make any decisions and is overprotective. And then the son's name is Roo, who is on the autism spectrum. He lacks awareness of danger and has a strange attachment to sitting in his mother's pouch. And lastly, this is where it gets weird, Christopher Robin, who's the human boy, he suffers from schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder. So it's believed that all of the talking animal characters are manifestations from Christopher Robin's mood. All right. So,
wow.
Apologies for rambling there.
Yeah, but these are some deep check out theories, man. It's like some detail.
Yeah, it gets weird, man. It gets weird.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
It's such a great show, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's... I think it's Canadian too.
Oh, is it?
Or the author?
Winnie the Pooh was. Canadian. Yeah, the bear is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Like the one it's named after.
Gotcha.
I think, and then the... Yeah.
There was a commercial, like Great Canadian Moments or whatever.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Canadian Heroes.
Yeah, the fictional character is based on a female black bear found in White River, Ontario.
Ooh.
It was a book that was written by A.A. Milne. He was born in England, died in England. Oh, his child's name was Christopher Robin. Oh, so if this was intentional, does kid actually have like schizophrenia?
No, hopefully not.
No, I doubt it.
But I don't think it was confirmed.
Can you imagine if like, so his son's like probably grew up like a normal kid, right? And then all this, say that all this came out during Christopher Robin's life, And then he's like, what the hell, Dad? Like, what are you doing there? Everyone thinks I'm schizophrenic.
This theory came out in the year 2000.
Yes.
You said that the book,
deceased.
The book was written in the 20s, you said?
Way back, yeah. It's like, yeah, close the tabs, way back when.
So Christopher Robin would be an old man.
That's interesting. I'm sure you guys already know about this show. It's called The Paw Patrol. And if you don't know, it is really taking every kid by storm. Like, every kid loves Paw Patrol.
Yep, I got nieces.
So basically, it's a very simple show talking about a very young kid called Ryder. And Ryder has these dogs that they commit missions to save the world. And there's this evil mayor called Humdinger, who's got cats. The cats don't talk, but the dogs do talk. So one of the theories is, how come, like, there are a bunch of kids, you know, taking over the world? Like, it's like basically committing all these heroic adventures to save their communities. Where are the parents? And then one theory saying that perhaps there was a nuclear plant that all the parents used to work at, and it exploded. Therefore, all the parents died, and it's left with kids taking taking all these adults roles, saving the world. Another one says, so pretty much like, who's funding all these gadgets? Because the kids have like all these high tech gadgets, and so basically, who is funding it? We don't know. And then also, how come the cats don't talk, but then dogs do talk? Like, it's like all these little topics that no one knows. Interesting.
Maybe the dogs, maybe they did something to the cats to make them not talk.
Yeah, I mean, dogs are always like trying to like just, you know, take over, and cats are very secretive.
Yeah, maybe the dogs took out the parents.
So there's one other theory that was saying, like, even perhaps maybe the cats are the employees who worked with the mayor, because the mayor is very evil. They can't say anything, so they're very quiet.
Oh.
I've never actually watched that show.
Wait, so
just know kids love it.
Is the mayor a cat, or what's the mayor?
No, the mayor is a human being.
The mayor's a human?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe the reason why he's evil, because this is all from the perspective of the dogs, right? So this is like their bias. So maybe he's evil to the dogs, but maybe the dogs are aggressive towards him. That's why he is the way he is. Maybe they took out like a bunch of humans, and they're trying to like make the world in their own vision, and he's just trying to, you know, fight back, and he feels like he's the victim here. Maybe. Could be. I don't know. I've seen like three episodes, so yeah, they're all the same. There's very little plot.
Yeah, it's always the same. It's always the same plot. Something happens in the community. They call Ryder. He unites the dogs. They go save, you know.
Why do they put a kid in charge, though? That's what I don't get. Like, if these dogs are so capable, why do you have, like, a five-year-old kid running the show?
Yeah, it's I mean, a 10-year-old kid.
The dogs. Yeah. Oh, 10-year-old. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure. So, like, a 10-year-old kid can run a community emergency service.
Yeah. I was going to say, how is this kid so competent?
Yeah.
Go figure.
But kids love it.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Kids love that show.
Yeah. Their show's filled with plot holes. Speaking of plot holes and kids that have a lot of power, these next two are about Harry Potter. The first one is really just a plot hole that I never really realized until it was pointed out by somebody on Instagram. So in Harry Potter, they celebrate Christmas, which sounds normal, but a lot of people around the world celebrate Christmas. But if you look at Jesus, so Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, you know, life of Christ, what he did, just recognize all the good things that he did according to Christianity. But Jesus turned water into wine. He cured diseases. And if you watch Harry Potter, any wizard at Hogwarts or anyone in the wizarding world could easily turn water into wine, no problem. And they could easily cure diseases. So Jesus to them is just some normal guy. Like, so why are they celebrating this guy's life if he's just the exact same as them? Like, seriously, Harry Potter accomplished more by the age of 15 than Jesus ever did. Just saying.
Like, why would they be impressed by Jesus?
Yeah. There's no reason. They celebrate it every year.
Maybe they celebrate the least most powerful person in their community.
Maybe.
It's just a prank a they pull on him to make him feel special.
No, he was a pioneer in magic.
He's a Hogwarts dropout.
He's an ancestor. He's a magical powers ancestor.
All right, the other one, this next one is also a plot hole, as it wasn't addressed, but because in the later books you have like the Death Eaters who are led by Voldemort, and they're trying to find ways to get rid of Dumbledore, so that they can kind of like, because Dumbledore's very powerful and he keeps getting in their way and Harry Potter and whatnot. So this would have been an easier way for them to do that. That would actually been, they could have done through legal channels. So in the second book, there's a character called Moaning Myrtle who hides out in this one bathroom. And she's called Moaning Myrtle because she like, you hear this moaning sound coming from the bathroom. And there's all this like, it's a destroyed girl's bathroom and there's like water that comes up all the time and everywhere. And she kind of haunts the bathroom. And she died as a result of Tom Riddle, who eventually became Voldemort. And Tom Riddle has the ability to speak to snakes. And so he can command them and get them to do what he needs them to do. And he, one of the snakes that Tom Riddle slash Voldemort commanded ended up killing Moaning Myrtle. Now, Dumbledore, he was responsible for bringing Voldemort to Hogwarts, knowing full well that Tom Riddle he was a troubled kid. He was causing a lot of disturbances in previous places where he went to. He had the ability to command snakes, and he had like a lot of malicious intent towards a lot of kids his age. And Dumbledore actively brought him to Hogwarts as a way to kind of help the child. That was his intention, but that ended up backfiring, and Moaning Myrtle died as a result. So essentially, long story short, is that Dumbledore is at fault for Moaning Myrtle's death, and he should have been brought up on charges and basically had jail time served, or at least a strong fine, or under house arrest or something like that. But they just completely glossed over in the book. It was just like a little plot point that just like, oh yeah, this happened and that's why she's dead. And they completely glossed over it.
Dumbledore's a criminal.
Yeah.
You know. He had a responsibility.
Yeah.
He failed. I also have a Harry Potter one.
Nice. Oh, wow.
different from those two. Yeah. Those are more plot holes. This is another dark... I feel like all mine are dark. So this fan theory is that the events that unfold in Harry Potter throughout the entire series are actually the delusions of a malnourished and abused young boy locked in a closet. Harry. So in reality, Harry never leaves the Dursleys. He's just kind of trapped and abused by that family. And he copes with it by creating all these magical stories and fantasies. And then to add to that, in the Order of the Phoenix, Dudley becomes more physically abusive. So he really bullies Harry. So as he gets older, the delusions get more intense. So I don't know. Other dark theory, but it seems to check out.
But even like that whole legal thing that I mentioned, like, You can't expect to have like a teenage kid understand who's at fault with an accidental child's death at a school. So it explains that plot hole too. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was a delusion.
It's not my theory. Some guy on Reddit.
Yeah.
A few people on Reddit, actually.
So the show How I Met Your Mother. So the show is basically Ted telling his kids about how he met the kid's mother. The theory is that basically what he's trying to do is he's trying not to sound very bad or manipulative to the kids. So really what he's doing is all the stories that he's talking about, Barney is basically him. Like 50% of the stories are basically him, how he basically lied to women to, you know, sleep with them, but then didn't want to sound as if he's like the, you know, bad person. So then he says Barney is the one doing it.
He's trying to be a role model still.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's funny.
So he's actually the really bad guy in the show.
But Barney, wait, never mind. I was going to say Barney owns all of it, but it's just the story of Barney. So we don't know.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Okay.
And it's very interesting, like how in the shows, like most of these shows, like you have Cheers and it's always at the pub. Like, you know, How I Met Your Mother is at the pub. I don't know why. Like, it's always that same setup.
Yeah. The hangout spot for the group of friends.
The thing that got me was because you have like Cheers kind of before it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Cheers, you had like Friends, Seinfeld, where it always took place in an apartment. So How I Met Your Mother kind of has settings from both. So it's kind of like a nod to like sitcoms in general in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually it's like the main set is from the perspective of the television. So the TV or the fans or the audience at home is like, is the television and they're watching them.
Right.
Which is kind of like interesting because it's like you're watching them like looking into your TV as if you're looking through your TV into their TV. So it's like this weird kind of like parallel Inception. Universe Inception kind of thing going on. Yeah. Good show though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Solid. Classic.
My next one is about a book. Not a kid show, not a TV show. A lot of people are familiar with it. It's the Book of Revelations that's in the Bible.
How old is this book?
Almost 2,000 years old. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were to read the book today or if you were to talk about the book today, is that the book is perceived, it's about the end of our world, doomsday prophecies, essentially, which is what it's always tied to. Pretty much see any cult's founding doctrine. However, at the time of writing, which was in the first century AD, so in this common era, so it was around like year 90, I think it was, when the Book of Revelation was written, because the Bible was not written all at once, it was written in stages. So the Book of Revelations is actually referring to the demise of Rome, not necessarily the world in and of itself. Because at the time, the world was very small in terms of perception. They did know about, like, say, East Asia and what was going on there, but it was so distant, it kind of felt like it was another world away. And North America was, obviously there were humans there, but they had no idea that North America really exists, or South America, near impossible. So their world was pretty much isolated to the Middle East and Europe. That was their world. And their world was dominated by the Roman Empire, who was, at the time, falling, right? Eventually, it would fracture between the Eastern and Western Roman Empire. And then you get Rome and Constantinople as the two capitals from that. So the signs that they're actually using in the Book of Revelations actually alluded a lot to Rome itself. So they refer to, like, seven hills or seven mountains in the Book of Revelations. That's actually just referring to the seven hills of Rome. Another one are the beasts. The beasts are referring to the emperor. There's a lot of ways that they speak about the beasts. And if you read it through the lens of somebody who's, like anybody who's familiar with ancient Roman history, it has a lot of relations to the emperors of Rome prior to that. And then the mark of the beast was referring to Nero, specifically the coinage with his face on the back. That was the mark of the beast. And so Revelations kind of pushes back against the emperors who ended up destroying Jerusalem. Through conquest, it was kind of treated as like it was just this distant part of the Roman Empire, Jerusalem and modern day Israel, like that whole part of the Mediterranean. And they wanted to restore that part because that's where Jesus was from. That's the Holy Land, according to Christians, many other faiths too. And they wanted to restore that whole area. So when you look at Book of Revelations today, it's always seen as a doomsday prophecy. But that doomsday that they were referring to was Rome. And oddly enough, it ended up becoming true. The Roman Empire ended up collapsing in epic fashion. And then eventually you had like Pompeii came up shortly thereafter. So you had a lot of Christians at the time. They were warning that there was going to be, you know, God was very angry with you. He's going to show you his true might. And then Mount Vesuvius erupted and kind of covered Pompeii in ash and kind of froze them there. And Pompeii at the time was kind of like the Las Vegas of the Roman Empire. Like it was a city of sin. And there was a lot of brothels and lewd stuff that was happening in the city. And so for Christianity, from a PR perspective, it couldn't have happened to a better city at a better time in order to kind of boost their narrative about God is real and God is mighty and he will smite you. And that kind of gave them like a huge push in terms of popularity. And a lot of people kind of saw that as like this true thing of God, and that Revelations is actually referring to the fall of Rome that God will bring out, which if you want to read it that way, I guess he was right. Or I guess the Revelations is right. So, yeah. Not really a fan theory, think, more of a historian theory.
Historian theory, yeah.
I think Alex needs to find Jesus. I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Little historical lesson.
Yeah.
Oh, my throat's all weird. Mm. So strange.
Did you, Kojo, too? I think you're dying too. Yeah, we all inhaled through. Banana pudding.
Ironically enough, Alex sounds the best out of all of them.
It's contagious. The new COVID.
I'll go to my next one.
It's just banana pudding.
If I can. Banana pudding. All right, well, back on topic. Back to kids' TV shows. This one compares. So this theory is that the Flintstones and the Jetsons actually take place in the same timeline.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a fun one. The Flintstones, so they're both Hanna-Barbera cartoons. And the theory is that the Flintstones doesn't actually take place before the Jetsons. So there's two different fan theories regarding the timing of these two shows. One suggests that the Flintstones takes place in the far future and after the Jetsons. After most humans abandon Earth, the last of humanity restarts civilization, and this theory would support the reasoning why the Flintstones had futuristic concepts like cars and television. But the more popular fan theory is that the Jetsons and the Flintstones are actually happening simultaneously in the same timeline. So in the distant future, the theory goes that the rich or the haves buy tickets off of a dying Earth and leave the rest of humanity to save themselves. These are the have-nots. And those in space flourish with new technology, while the folks back home descend into chaos and eventually become a hybrid of modern and prehistoric society. Other clues are that the Flintstones celebrate things like Christmas and other holidays, which doesn't actually make sense. And also the Great Kazoo, who's an alien, appears in both shows. But what doesn't make sense is the dinosaurs in the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Did they clone them or something?
Well, yeah, genetic engineering.
I think it would make sense.
Yeah, yeah, genetic engineering. Yeah, yeah, done. Theory complete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because then you have the Jetsons is very modern and advanced. So then they cloned all the... Yep. And then you see how the Jetsons live in the sky. So perhaps maybe the Flintstones are below.
Yep, it's like commentary on the haves and haves not have nots. So rich people in the future versus, you know, the like an apocalyptic Earth.
Whenever the World Economic Forum comes out, you always see on certain corners of the internet they're theorizing that where, you know, the rich will kind of section off part of the world for themselves, and then everybody else is kind of left to their own devices, or the rich will just end up leaving the planet entirely.
To Mars.
All the have-nots. Yeah, basically, yeah. There was that freak fire event that happened in Maui, in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
What they're saying is, I don't know, this is all coming from, like, social media and Reddit, so definitely all accurate and true information. But where
100%.
They would show pictures of the aftermath of this fire, and you have cars that would be, like, melted to the asphalt. Meanwhile, like the asphalt itself, like the paint on the road would be perfectly fine. And like trees would still be standing, like the actual like trunk of the tree would still be standing. The leaves would be burned off, but the actual tree would still be there. So it's like, how can a fire be so hot that it melts a car and everything inside of it, like all the interior upholstery is all gone. Houses are like completely obliterated. Meanwhile, the tree that was in the front yard, the trunk of the tree is still there. And like the paint on the road is fine. Mm. It seems like it's kind of, fire's not accurate in what it does. It just spreads.
Right.
Like fire. Yeah. So the theory is like it was an intentional kind of thing where they used these super laser things or whatever to like beat up the place, and then it just kind of burned everything down. Yeah. What was it that Marjorie Taylor Greene said? Jewish space lasers were causing the fires in California a couple years ago. So probably the same space lasers, yeah. But
or the other thing Elon was Musk is the fire guns that he had. You can buy for
the flamethrowers. From his what's his other company? It's called the Boring Company.
Yeah,
great name for a company.
My response: aliens, definitely aliens.
It's always aliens.
Yeah,
or ghosts from the future.
Actually, this is a brief side step here, but we're off topic. That's kind of on brand for us, though. So I was watching this. Okay, just hear me out on this one. So I was watching this interview that somebody at Area 51 was having with a gray alien. It was on YouTube. So this obviously sounds completely bogus. It probably is. But it was a part of like Project Blue Book, which was an actual thing that the FBI or that the US government did conduct about UFOs, like unidentified flying objects. If you Google like alien interview Project Blue Book, you'll probably find the interview. And it's like this alien, and he's kind of giving these answers to what's going on. So they asked him, like, where are you from? Like, how did you get here? And the alien was like, I traveled millions of light years through space to get here. And they're like, well, where are you from? And the alien was like, I'm from Earth. They're like, how did you get here if you traveled billions of light years? And he's like, the alien replied, you could, like, moving through space is the same as moving through time, which, according to like Einstein's theory of relativity, that's true, right? If you move far enough through space, you are moving through time. So essentially what the alien goes on to say is like the gray aliens, like if the stereotypical like big head, big eyes, humanoid body, right? You probably wonder like, why do aliens look like us if they're from another planet, why do they look like us? So the alien essentially goes on to say how they evolved from sapiens. There was a nuclear war that happened in this century, right now, sometime this century. There was a nuclear war that allegedly happens, and it ended up causing a huge nuclear fallout, pretty much wiped out the human race. Several hundred thousand years later, these aliens evolved from what was left of us. And then if you imagine like a nuclear fallout holocaust, like you're not going to have hair or anything like that. They have big eyes because they're sensitive to light, because you would have like this cloud that would be wrapping around the planet, so there'd be very little light penetrating into the planet, hence the big eyes. And they're sensitive to light, that's why you don't see them during the day. And so when they're able to progress far enough to actually obtain technology and everything like that, they end up building technology or space traveling technology some sort to travel back in time to figure out what the hell went wrong. Because that would probably be the biggest thing about their society. And then he came to this planet, like they came in like the 1950s or 1940s when all this stuff started to happen in terms of nuclear warheads. I guess watch the movie Oppenheimer for where it all began.
Just watched it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So they came back to that time and then they kind of stayed around for around 100 years, which is our period of time now, observing what's happening. And they don't know who drops the nuke. That's why they're observing. They're trying to figure out what happened. But according to the alien, it was like it was an American president for a brief period of time. They don't know who it is, obviously. This is all speculation. This is from YouTube. And the alien does kind of look like a bit like an animatronic. But it was an interesting thing. However, the message that the allegedly real, most likely fake alien did say was that in order to avoid any of this happening, his advice to us is to protect our democracy. Don't let it go. Yeah, which is true. I agree with that. I agree with the fake alien.
Alien's not a communist, clearly.
Yeah, not the a communist. Yeah, he's definitely pro-Democrat.
Yes. So the question is, or with all the technology that allowed them to like build all these fancy, you know, machines to go back in time, why didn't they go exactly at the time, or maybe close to the time where the bomb, and then just nip it and just, you know, cut it?
Just
that's what I thought. Yeah, so like, yeah, it's a great, that's the exact question I had, because like, but did they just like overshoot it and they're like, well, I guess we'll just wait? Or do they have like enough fuel to like make a return trip? Like, what's the, like, how does this work here, you know? Like, are they only able to go back to a certain year? Do they need to observe like what happened and why? Because from a research
plot holes here,
yeah, from a research perspective, their future is already mapped out. Like, their fate is sealed, right? They are what they are. They can't change the past. So if you were to go into the past, it's like you can't change what happens. You can't do anything different. So they're only really left to observe. Maybe that's why. Maybe, but they're clearly more intelligent than us if they could travel through time. So
yep. Not precisely enough, though.
Yeah. So I guess that's a fan theory anyway. On aliens. I don't know. There you go.
I guess so. We've digressed. All right, back to fan theories about TV shows. Yes.
Who's next?
Who's next? I don't know. Was it you, Kojo?
I can go next.
Yeah, go for
it. All right. So the next one is The Office. And
ooh, The Office.
Any of you have The Office?
No.
Oh, you have The Office?
But I know I don't have The Office, but I think I know what you're going to say.
I work in an
office. Okay. Go ahead. Me too.
So, in The Office, so Andy and Angela, well, Andy proposed to Angela, and at the proposal, like when he proposed, Andy's parents... The parents that were at Andy's, you know, proposal are not Andy's actual parents. And the people that were at the, you know, were actors, like basically like literal actors. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because Andy's parents are really dicks. So he couldn't have them there. And therefore hired these people to be like really nice parents at his... So I think on season 9 or something like that is when the actual parents are shown. And you get to know who their parents are.
And they're different. Yeah. Yeah. So the theory is that he hired actors to play his parents. Yeah. There's a few Office ones. There's another one that Kevin is actually a genius, but he's playing dummy because he got in trouble. I forget exactly what it was. But so in season 1, he's actually pretty smart. And his character becomes like a moron as the seasons go on. But I forget what happens. Like he tries to cover his butt with something that goes wrong. I have to research it, but look it up.
Yeah.
It's out there.
That's such a good show.
Office theories.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Classic.
I think they just changed how TV shows were with the, they call it mockumentary.
Yeah.
Which you look at the camera, so it's a kind of interview, but it's a documentary and it's a show as well.
Yep. And they actually explain that it's a mockumentary.
Is the British version also mockumentary?
British version is, yes, that's how it started.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think so. It's like points fun at, you know, the average everyman office. Just looking at people who take themselves seriously but don't have interesting lives.
I think British people do really well with comedy. Like British TV shows are
the
like
wit.
Genius with comedy.
The British wit. But yeah, there's other shows that had the mockumentary style, I guess, theme. Modern Family. What else?
Those all came after, though.
Right. They came
after. Yeah, they came after, right?
Parks and Rec.
That's what we're saying. Parks and Rec,
It was kind of like a subgenre of sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of like it because it, like, you see a scene and then you kind of see the character's perspective of that scene, and it kind of just adds like a different take or a different flavor to it.
Yeah, that kind of pokes fun at reality TV.
Yeah.
Because they do the same thing.
Yeah.
For so then reality TV reality came TV. And then this came next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I Community is Ricky one Gervais. That pokes fun at a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny. You can't even come up with a fan theory for Community because they already did all the fan theories that could have possibly be done for their own show.
Yeah. Yeah. That show was great.
It's like, oh, this is all in Abed's head. Yeah, that was an episode. Yep.
Yep, been there. And the new, they're making the movie now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, they're six in an insane asylum together. Yeah, that was an episode too. Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah. I love that
Dan
show.
Dan Harmon.
Nice. Do you have one, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple more. Okay, SpongeBob SquarePants. Another kid show. This one's pretty much confirmed by the creators of the show. So SpongeBob lives in Bikini Bottom, which sounds suspiciously similar to Bikini Atoll, which is the Pacific island used for nuclear bomb tests in the 1940s and 50s. So the theory is that SpongeBob and his pals are actually mutated sea life and are victims of toxic radioactive waste that was blasted into the ocean. And this particular theory of SpongeBob's origins is actually pretty widely known, with the show, with the show's creators actually more or less confirming that Bikini Bottom is indeed set below the still radioactive Bikini Atoll. And in real life, if you even approach there, you're at risk of getting cancer. So interesting concept for a kids' television show, but
I'm wondering, is that where the pineapple came from? Dropped from the ship or something like that? Or
maybe Pacific Islands, I guess they have pineapples.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Weird choice for a lead character.
Yeah, but it's interesting and very sad that the people of Bikini were not allowed to come back to the Earth.
Chernobyl's another one.
But then the good thing is Hiroshima didn't end up becoming one of those, because apparently the bomb blew up in the sky, so it didn't, the radioactive particles burnt and it didn't like land on Earth.
Mm-hmm. So it's,
yeah,
I heard about this. So it's inhabitable now, right?
Hiroshima, people, I mean, live. Nagasaki and all these places you could live. I mean, the people are living there. They're like, you know, flourishing.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it blew up in the sky and not on land. So everything just burnt up.
So my next one is a theory that people have been throwing around about Cardi B.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for this one.
Celebrity. So there's a bunch of videos online where you can watch this, and it actually happens, and it would happen in interviews when she's on like the red carpet or in front of a camera or something like that. So the theory is that Cardi B is some kind of animatronic robot programmed entity. She's not like a real human, essentially. So what would happen is that she'd be in an interview and she would just freeze. And then the people around her, essentially her handlers, if you will, they would say something three times like, hey, hey, hey. And then she would kind of come back to life and then just like pick up where she left off. And there's a bunch of videos where it actually shows this, where she'd be in an interview and then the interviewer would ask the question three times and then she would kind of come back and then continue.
Is this on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. It's like everywhere. YouTube, Instagram. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Haven't heard of this one.
I don't. Maybe like probably Cardi B just probably tunes out, and it's probably selective editing in a certain way.
It's like Joe Biden.
Yeah, like Joe Biden. Yeah.
Oh, all right. I have some YouTube portals to go down tonight. Okay, I have two more. Okay, do you want to hear James Bond or Shrek?
James Bond.
Let's do James Bond.
James Bond. Okay, so this theory is that James Bond's primary purpose is to actually be a distraction to keep the attention off of the spies who actually spy. So the theory goes that villains and other spies know him, He rarely actually takes an alias because he introduces himself and makes his presence known very early on in any interaction. And he keeps messing up operations for villains. But other spies have already infiltrated their ranks and work while Bond does as much visible damage as possible to keep the other spies safe. So that's the James Bond one.
I mean, I agree because James Bond...
He's a shit disturber.
James Bond appears to always be having fun.
Yeah, he's just having a great time. Just sleeping with women.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Yeah. The one I heard about James Bond was the 00 moniker, like that's given is like that's just given to like so the James Bond name and the 00 is given to whoever just assumes that role. Yeah. So essentially if you can watch them all in order, Roger Moore, Sean Connery, Daniel Craig, Pierce Brosnan, they're all just people who assume the identity of James Bond.
Right. Ooh. Different spies. Like
yeah. Cause they and I hope they do this, like they were considering having Idris Elba as like right. the next yep. Bond.
And that would explain how James Bond's black.
So yeah, so it's like how do you go from like a Daniel Craig to Idris right. Elba? Well, it's because it's the moniker that's given to them. It's just a code name. It's not an actual person. And I think that would be great because it would allow them to do a lot of cool shit with it, yep. And kind of expand the franchise. And they can definitely do a lot of yeah. interesting storytelling with it.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea, yeah. And it's good that. The actors Idris Elba because he's a good actor, right?
Right.
If it was a shitty actor, they'd be like, "Oh, here we go with the woke stuff." There you go. The black yeah, guy yeah, playing yeah. James Bond. First Little Mermaid. Now, who?
Can they do a woman?
Yeah, James Bond's a woman theory, now.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
What yeah, actor would be a good woman for that? British actor.
Helen Mirren. No, she's old.
Yeah, Helen Mirren. Yeah.
I don't know who's a good British actress.
And no, can but she it also maintain explains her like the whole like womanizing attitude? Like in this way,
yeah, I mean, if it was like 10 years ago, Keira Knightley would have been a good one.
Yeah, yeah. We need a Google search for good British actresses. Yeah, and it also explains why James Bond is the same age for like 60 years of movie making.
Right.
Right.
I think if they do if they do a woman, the woman should be a lesbian.
A lesbian. All right.
Are you trying to like check off all the boxes for the
Not exactly,
I think
but
be
I think
bisexual.
I think that would be dope.
Yeah, she should
then
be.
Then it would be more hardcore, black, like, you know, like
British lesbian. Who is adopted. Yeah.
I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, next.
Next one is Friends. So Friends is also set up in New York City in a coffee shop. And in... the season, okay, so there's this idea that Rachel dreamt the whole story. Because on the cover of season 4 on the box, it has the, you know, like Ross, Phoebe, Monica, Chandler, Joey, they're all on one bed and their eyes are closed, but Rachel is the only one with the eyes open. So that's the theory.
Hmm.
So
is this like her dream?
Yeah,
or
so
is it
like she dreamt the whole show?
Interesting. Is she like tortured by something?
Rachel? We don't know. I have a few of these theories. This other one is it's a long promotion for Starbucks. And that...
Oh,
that I kind of agree in the sense that like it's okay, so you have Rachel's last name is Green, so that's a hint, and then you have Ross and Monica, their last name is Galler, and Galler is a German name word for to yell. And see how the barristers always yell out your name.
This is stretching out here.
Yeah, this was really.
This is a flexible theory.
But I mean, like,
what about
come
Bing
on.
Though, when they Bing your orders up,
Bing.
Oh yeah, that's. Have you heard the one about Phoebe's from her perspective?
No.
What's that one?
So Phoebe has. So before that, she became friends with the friends. She lived on the street, and so the theory is that the whole TV show is from her perspective because she sees these five other people in a coffee shop all the time, and she imagines herself to be friends with them, and then the lives and the adventures that they have together because
that's
she's homeless and lives on the street.
Oh, I like that.
That's solid.
Yeah. Because it kind of checks out, yeah. Because she's like the odd one of the bunch that doesn't really fit. Because obviously, like, Ross and Monica are brother-sister, right? And then Rachel's friends with Monica.
Mm.
And then Chandler is friends... How did he get in the mix?
He's Joey friends with Ross. Friends
with yeah, he's friends with Ross, yeah. And then eventually they meet Joey. So they just all kind of connected through life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Phoebe's Joey's just like kind a... of... actor kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the way that Phoebe was brought into the group, it was kind of like, oh yeah, and then she's kind of there, and then there's like some kind of like interesting connection, but maybe I'm missing something. But it's just kind of from her perspective. She lives on the streets and she imagines these friends, and if you notice that most of the stories are about the other five, not really her, because it's from
right.
She's watching them.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
She's got a few plots, but nothing crazy. Like, she gets pregnant at one point, helping out. Who does she help
That's
out?
True.
Is it her sister? Forget who.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that is kind of weird is how come they always get a seat? Because it's called Central Perk, but.
Central Perk, that's it.
It's supposed to be Central Park. And even if.
Right.
Just imagine New York City. There's no way you're going to always get that same seat every day.
Yeah, they're always just sitting in the middle on like the sofas. Maybe it's not a popular cafe.
Okay, another one is they're all in a psych ward. Because think about it, like
I think you could throw that with any TV show.
What if Central Perk is
Potter.
Not an actual coffee shop?
Yeah, it's like Merging. Pick a TV show and. Just say, oh yeah, the set where they're all in a psych ward and this is their collective delusion.
I think that would fit for most shows.
Breaking Bad.
For most shows, yeah. The Office, Frasier, you know. Maybe Frasier's the one who's the patient and he's...
Yeah.
Seinfeld, Malcolm definitely. The they're definitely from a psych
for
ward.
Sure.
Seinfeld.
They're all nuts.
Yeah.
They're all nuts.
Oh, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They're all nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely psych ward. Yeah,
they're all delinquents.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. Probably not. Community for sure.
Oh yeah, Community. Yeah, I mean they even did that trope once.
Oh yeah. They did every trope. Anyway.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Fan theories.
Nice.
Yeah. No real final thoughts, just, I guess, watch the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fans are fun people. They really get into things.
And aliens are just time-traveling humans from the future after a nuclear war.
Yep. Yep. And people love conspiracy theories.
YouTube.
Check out our podcast on conspiracies.
Yeah.
It's like the psychology behind that one.
Yeah, and when we use an AI bot to talk to aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Or explain aliens, yeah.
All right. With that, check us on all the social medias, raisedeyebrow.podcast.
Remember, kids, Ryder is the one who's controlling Paw Patrol universe. The mayor is actually the good guy.
Gun noises. Oh, man.